Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Payne and Pendergast with you. We got done talking in the previous segment before headlines about Texans hitting rock bottom with the Watson trade. Have things generally started turning in the right direction? When it comes to the rebuild, the record's not there yet, but are the Texans doing the right things to put themselves in position? I think yes, and I think the Rockets, you could say the same thing. Here was James Harden on January 12th, 2021, the same week that Deshaun Watson reportedly wanted to get traded. So did James Harden.
I love this city. I literally, you know, have done everything that I can. This situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think it can be fixed. So, thanks.
And with that, he walked off the dais, and that was the last we saw of James Harden as a
Rocket. What was the date of that?
January 12th, 2021.
My goodness.
Yeah.
What a rough year January of 2021 was.
That month, January of
2020. That January through February of 2020 was weird and rough, and then January through March or so of 2021 was rough.
It was really rough, yeah, because the previous year was the Astros' punishment coming down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a relatively non-eventful January through March we had this year.
It is, blessedly. It is. It was easier to handle, for sure. As far as the Rockets go, Seth, if that was rock bottom the day, and for some people it might not have been. Some people were probably ready to move on from James, but certainly in terms of their ability to win basketball games, that was not a great day for the Rockets, and there have not been a lot of winning days since then, but I do feel like if we're evaluating them through a rebuild prism, that literally the luck has been in favor of the Rockets, because part of it has been lottery-based. The trade they made for Harden, they got a slew of unprotected picks and unprotected pick swaps from Brooklyn that, given the direction Brooklyn is going, look like they've got a chance to be really productive picks for this team. The 2021 lottery, they did not lose their first-round pick or didn't have to swap their first-round pick, so they ended up with Jalen Green. They traded and got Alperen Şengün. They had a really good draft. Jalen Green made first-team all-rookie. Brooklyn had not so great a year, so that was good. And then this lottery, I would categorize this lottery as successful. They land in the top three in what a lot of people view as a three- or four-player draft. So, like the Texans, I think, and the Rockets, it's a lot more based in actual dumb luck because it's literally a lottery.
Yeah.
But the two lotteries, they have needed to play out properly for them. I think they other than saying, well, boy, I wish we got the number one overall pick in each of them. If someone had told me going into the 2021 lottery, you're going to get the second pick and the third pick, you're going to finish with the worst record each of these 2 years, but you're going to get the second pick and the third pick in the draft, I would have said, cool, I'll take it. Give it to me.
Yeah. Well, and then the big thing is there's always part luck, but then, okay, what do you do with your luck? Like, Rafael Stone did a really good job with his lucky break.
Absolutely.
I say lucky break, you know, as they sit there with John Wall on the roster and without James Harden on the team, his lucky break was getting those picks, but then he did a really good job with them. And that's where I think the level of optimism for what Rafael Stone can do with the current bit of good luck is a lot higher now than it would have been a year ago, obviously.
Yep, and I think similar to the Texans, their salary structure, their salary cap is going to be super clean going into 2023. No more Christian Wood, no more Eric Gordon, no more John Wall is the biggest thing. I forget that John Wall is even a Houston Rocket. That's crazy. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. 713-572-4610. Statistical proof that James Click and the Astros definitely got this shortstop thing right. Next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, good to be with you on a Thursday. Payne and Pendergast with you. Jeremy Pena. Here was Carlos Correa last week on Astros rookie shortstop and his replacement here in Houston. Correa's replacement, Jeremy Pena.
Yeah, so with Pena, you know, with Pena's a kid that from the moment I saw him, I saw the talent in him. Last year in spring training, I invited him to take some ground balls with me. And when we were taking ground balls, I told him, you know, hey, look at how we work here. Look how we take care of business, because next year this might be you playing this position. And, you know, he gave me like a nod. He said, like, thank you. And then when we finished, when we lost in the World Series, I pulled him aside and I told him, hey, Pena, next year this most likely will be your team. You know, you'll be playing shortstop for this team. It can happen. So go out there in the offseason, prepare yourself like you're going to play shortstop for this team. And, you know, make sure you're ready to go. And, you know, he did just that. You know, he's had a great start to his career. He's everything I knew he could be. The talent, you know talent when I see it. And from the moment I saw him taking ground balls, hitting BP, and, you know, when you look at his athleticism and his body, you know, he's going to be a superstar in this game. So I'm very happy for him, for all his accomplishments. And I can't wait to see him, to congratulate him.
All right, so Carlos Correa with the strangest campaign to become an MLB scout in the history of the game. I know talent when I see it. I'm just kidding, Carlos. We love you. So that was Carlos Correa on Jeremy Pena. Seth, I was going through yesterday as we were right in the middle of a stark raving Pena Mania segment at the end of the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? I wonder, Pena was the solution for the Astros. I feel like he was the solution all along. My feeling is the five-year, $160 million offer that the Astros made to Correa was one that deep down, I don't think they wanted Carlos to accept. I think it was done more out of PR, knowing he wouldn't accept it, but they felt it was a fair offer for them. Now, if he said yes, they would have kept Carlos Correa. But I think if you were asking them when they made that offer, would you rather keep Carlos for 5 years at $32 million a year or move on from Carlos and put Jeremy Pena in there? I think at the time they would have said Pena. And yep. I went back through and I looked and said, okay, we know keeping Correa was an option. We know this was a really deep shortstop class in free agency. Marcus Semien, Trevor Story, who's playing second base now, by the way, for the Red Sox, Javi Baez, Corey Seager. And I went back through and looked because I'm thinking, man, none of these guys are lighting the world on fire right now, I don't think. And sure enough, my spidey sense was correct. None of them are lighting the world on fire. Probably the one that's having the best year of the five is, well, certainly having the best year of the five is Corey Seager, who's got a for him, a guy making $32 million a year for the next decade, a modest 752 OPS and 1.3 wins above replacement. The other four are below average. Marcus Semien's been awful. He's got like a pitcher level OPS and a negative WAR right now. And these are all guys, Seth, Correa, Semien, Story, Baez, Seager, on average making $28 million a year. Jeremy Pena's OPS is 878, which is damn near elite. And his wins above replacement, 2.3, is more than, and it's a cumulative stat, wins above replacement, it's more than all five of those guys put together, right now.
Yeah, he's better than five of those.
He's
players.
Better than if five
you,
men.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you had spent $600 million on those five men, they wouldn't have provided you as many extra wins as Carlos Peña is providing right now.
Yeah, Jeremy
so
Peña, right.
He's played 31 games so far, so yeah, it's a small sample size. I've been very bullish on Jeremy Peña for a long time. Unlike Carlos Correa, I didn't scout and discover Jeremy Peña. But I've read what people have been saying about Jeremy Peña for a long time. And I do think that it would have been a lot different, perhaps, the negotiations with Carlos Correa if there were no Jeremy Peña in the system. But the fact of the matter is, there's some similarities to how Green Bay was with Brett Favre. It got to a point where with Green Bay, they felt really good about Aaron Rodgers. And as Favre, you know, was dramatic about whether or not he's going to retire every year, at a certain point, the Packers said, we'll take our chances with Aaron Rodgers. We like this kid. And somewhat similar, somewhat different. With the Astros, I think it was that, look, they love Carlos Correa. They don't generally want to give anybody a deal more than 5 years, so there's that whole ball of wax. But even so, they really like Jeremy Peña. And it's a lot easier to just draw a hard line in the sand when you got a Jeremy Peña waiting in the wings. And without knowing whether, you know, James Click wouldn't have predicted that Peña would start this fast or this good. But he knew that he was capable of something like this. So you start to weigh your options and how much it's going to cost versus the risks of Peña not working out. It just made a lot of sense for the Astros to do exactly what they did. I thought it was, if discretion is the better part of valor, I thought that James Click did a very admirable job with his situation.
Dude, at $700,000, that's what Jeremy Peña is making right now. He's making $700,000. Yeah. Carlos Correa is making $35 million. He's literally making 2% of what Carlos Correa makes. At 700 grand, he would have to, he'd have to fall off a cliff from where he is right now for you to even start to question the decision to stick with Peña. You know, even if he reverts to being average or even slightly below average at $700,000, as long as he doesn't become something, as long as he doesn't become one of those spots in the lineup where you feel like when Maldonado comes up, where it's like, oh, God, this guy's so over, like non-circle of trust hitter anymore, that kind of thing. But 878, man, and 2.3 WAR. What, he's top five in wins above replacement in all of baseball right now. If he were top,
yeah, he's up there.
If he were top five among rookies, we would be happy right now. He's top five among everybody.
Right. That's right. And I don't think that I think that maybe some people aren't getting what an impressive performance Jeremy Peña is having, partly because I think he's playing on a team where there are a bunch of good players. The team itself started off somewhat disappointing, you know, before coming back and playing extremely well over the course of the last month. But at this point, it's just, okay, you got to do this, you know, four more times if you want to get a complete season's worth of it. So it's been a nice start. He figured out how to hit the slider. Pitchers are going to make other adjustments, and can you extend this? The big thing when you start talking about wins above replacement, the big thing that's weird about Peña that's very similar to Carlos Correa is that among WAR leaders, they both are rated very high defensively. Carlos Correa last year was among the leaders in that stat category because he had such a high defensive rating. Jeremy Peña is exactly the same way. So it's a little less bling to the eye because it's not an incredible offensive performance. But when you combine it with his defensive ability, that's what makes him such a rare player. And as you said, he's doing it for less than $1 million.
Yeah, the part that you said right there where you talked about, you know, it's maybe not getting as much notice because of the team that he's on, I think is a really good point, because I started to go, okay, what if he were on a bad team and he were doing this right now? He'd probably be getting the Jalen Green treatment, you know, where everybody's all hyped about Jalen Green in town because he's the main thing to be hyped up about with this team. This team is too busy chasing a World Series for us to get super hyped about Peña.
It was Jose Altuve in 2013 and 14.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it would be... Until Springer came up in 2014, there wasn't a whole lot to get excited about.
That's
other
right.
Than Jose Altuve.
That's right.
So that's what you'd be, which would be awful exciting. But then you'd also have the notion, especially What if the Astros right now had Jeremy Peña, but they'd been absolutely miserable the previous several years? What would we be saying about, aside from bemoaning the fact that both the Astros and Texans had been so bad the last few years, would we be saying that Jeremy Peña is just, I don't think we'd be as confident about it. I feel like if the Astros hadn't been so good these last few years, I think if Jeremy Peña came along and had this first 30 games, I think we'd be very side-eyed glancing about it.
Maybe, and some of it might just be pedigree, because I feel like Correa came up. Now, the Astros were better once Correa came up. That was the year they first made the playoffs, his rookie year.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said about coming up as the chosen one. You know, the guy who's the future hope of the entire franchise. That's what Correa was when they drafted him.
We would have been talking a lot more about Peña the last couple years, too.
Like looking at him in the minor – we would have been following him in the minor leagues. Yeah you're right about that. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Okay. 512-665 says, next Chris Paul State Farm commercial will have cones in it. Now, that would I would respect Chris Paul if he did that. If he just leaned into it and was self-deprecating about it, I think there's a 0% chance he does that. Doesn't strike me as Chris Paul's M.O. Or maybe he takes his fictitious twin brother, Cliff Paul, from those commercials and does something with cones and Cliff Paul. Maybe.
Or what, instead of Cliff, it'll be, since Cliff is supposed to be Chris's identical twin, maybe the Cliff will be a cone with glasses on.
That'd
it
be
or
good.
Something.
Yeah.
They'll talk about Chris Paul's brother and it'll be a cone.
Cone Paul. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what the problem is, though? That's going to be a little too much inside baseball for a State Farm joke.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that it's too too many people. I've learned that, like, when I go to MC at something, sometimes I'll make a joke that I think is hilarious, and it actually will be, but to our audience, not to the audience at large. Like, the casual sports fan doesn't get the sly reference to you know, something that Pat Beverly said.
Okay, State Farm has done this before. You remember when they had the they had the Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers commercial, and they're both sitting down at a table eating, and Mahomes asks to pass the ketchup to put on his steak.
And that's true.
If you're
that's
a sports fan, that's a
joke.
Total
inside.
If you're just an average NFL fan, you don't know anything about Patrick Mahomes liking ketchup on steak, but. I think sometimes those things are – now, that's more of just like a nice little nod to football fans. Like, if they actually turned one of the characters into a cone, they're expecting you to really know the whole backstory of that.
It's a sly – that's when TV writers, they're very proud of themselves if they could pull off what's like – it's called a 2% joke, which is like only 2% of the audience is going to get it. The key is you got to slide it in without it, you know, being conspicuous.
Yep.
It's got to be, it's funny to the people who get it, but otherwise you just don't notice it.
Easter egg style. That's what we call that, an Easter egg for the people.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, so that's what we got to watch for. It won't be the sole focus of it, but there will be a traffic cone feature.
In the background, on the driveway, just a bunch of cones. Yeah.
There will be something where it doesn't take away from the plot of the commercial, but the cone is there and noticeable if you know what the joke is.
There you go. There you go. Nick Saban, he was not joking yesterday, Aggies, when he took direct aim at you. He took direct aim at Deion Sanders. Nick Saban pissed off a lot of people yesterday. You'll hear it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, college football is a bit messy right now with all the name, image, and likeness deals that players are able to go get now. As existing players in college, they're allowed to go get. They are not allowed to be induced by schools to come to that school because they have an NIL deal waiting for them. And that's the concern that Nick Saban of Alabama has, and he singled out you Aggies out there. Yesterday he did that. He was at a meeting last night, Wednesday night, in Birmingham with local business leaders, and NIL was one of the topics that came up. And here's what Nick Saban had to say about the difficulty of competing in this NIL world when you got the likes of Texas A&M out there doing things.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player, all right? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
All right, so he's basically saying that the A&M kids had NIL deals waiting for them as soon as they put pen to paper on their letter of intent to go to Texas A&M, which is against the rules. But Seth, this world that we're living in now with college football, like the NCAA is so powerless right now in enforcing all this stuff. Like It's really, the NCAA is basically like an old substitute teacher that you're just getting away with everything in the class. You know, those old teachers that would come in, your teacher's out sick and they're sitting in there and it's just open season to do whatever the hell you want right now.
Yeah, but also Saban then, you know, is just flat out levying accusations about things that he does this multiple times in this interview or in this rant that he's having at this conference, where he basically invokes things he read in the paper and acts like it, that must make it a fact that that's what happened, that there were rumors that A&M did it a certain way. So, hey, that's read it in the paper, or that Jackson State bought a player. Read it in the paper. Like, okay, these places have denied certain aspects of these stories. So it's a big difference in saying Texas A&M bought players versus Texas A&M alumni were very aggressive in, you know, presenting these NIL deals before guys actually came in, or Jackson State alumni did something like that. He's really taking a shot directly at Jimbo Fisher there, basically because he got beat in recruiting. You know, so sorry if Texas A&M alumni adapted faster than Alabama alumni did.
Here was this is an interesting point, and we'll get to Deion Sanders in just a second. As you mentioned, he mentions Jackson State. Deion Sanders is the head coach there. Our friend Texans Bill, who listens to the show, had an interesting follow-up. When you and I were talking about this earlier in the show, He said if Saban really wanted to get after A&M, he'd leave out the NIL part. A&M donors, to their credit, went all in. Saban took it easy. He said the point here is Nick continues this false narrative of A&M having this grand NIL thing going on when you don't really see much of it. The point is A&M donors and boosters stepped up the old-fashioned way. I'm not hating the player here. play on, which what Texans Bill is basically saying is, look, the NIL thing is just a distraction from the fact that they're basically paying players to come to Texas A&M, and Nick wants to use NIL as a distraction because Texans Bill basically says it's what Alabama's been doing for years and years and years to compete in the SEC. Stop using NIL as a distraction. You're paying guys. Who knows?
And the problem is the problem with college football fans and coaches is that they spend too much time on the message boards where all of a sudden stuff takes on a life of its own to where rumors become in the minds of college football fans, rumors become like ironclad facts because they've seen it so many times. I spent a lot of time around Alabama people, and all the Alabama people are saying that this is exactly how A&M did it, so it's got to be true. Saban's just got to – this is what he does every offseason. He whines and bitches and complains, and then he gets back to coaching football, and he does just fine, obviously. So a few years ago, he wouldn't shut up about pace of play. Always
forgot about that.
And he's given – Remember, he was standing up for the physical safety of college football players. That's what he was concerned about. He'll get over it. Little Nicky will be fine after a while.
Here was Little Nicky on Jackson State, of all schools, being able to land five-star recruit Travis Hunter.
Hell, read about it in the paper. Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it.
How old does he sound saying read it in the paper?
Read it in the paper.
You can go look it up on the microfiche. If you go to the microfiche, hey, there's a little something called the Dewey Decimal System. You go there and you search on a word, and there will be plenty of books about illegal recruiting inducements.
Read about it in the paper.
That's right.
In the paper, I don't think they ever, was it ever reported in the paper that Jackson State was found to have paid for the player?
No. Your point about him kind of twisting it to make these schools look worse than what the actual execution of it was, I think it's a fair point.
Well, and Deion Sanders was none too pleased with that.
No. Tweeted
Sanders
about
responded
it.
On Twitter, "You best believe I will address that lie Coach Saban told tomorrow." He put "lie" in all caps. "I was awakened by my son." What's his son's name?
Shadur Sanders.
Yeah. "I was awakened by my son, Shadur Sanders. It sent me the article saying that we paid Travis Hunter $1 million to play at Jackson State. We, as a people, don't have to pay our people to play with our people."
Okay.
"People" is in all caps in all three. I'm guessing that's a reference to the fact that they're in an historically black conference, and he's talking about is he just talking about Jackson State football people?
No, I'm sure that they're I'm not going to say I'm sure about anything. It sure does feel with the capitalization of people three times.
Yeah.
It's easy to read a racial undertone in that
tweet. Yeah, I don't think he's trying to disguise it either. I want to be sure about it.
I don't think there's anything controversial about what he's saying.
He's saying, in a lot of ways, and that's the way Deion has framed a lot of these coups that Jackson State has pulled off in recruiting, is that, look, he's appealing to kids coming to play in a conference that is, supports black Americans and can hopefully foster a better culture for everybody. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what the NIL deal was for Travis Hunter or how he got paid to go there. But if Nick Saban is now worried about Jackson State's alumni base somehow outbidding Alabama, as Nick Saban brags about how Alabama players had $3 million in NIL deals this year, but they did it the right way. Honestly, get bent, Nick Saban. Are you honestly sitting here and whining and bitching and complaining about Jackson State's alumni somehow overpowering Alabama? This is where he's at his most pathetic. It's kind of like an Urban Meyer where you undo a lot of the incredible things you've done as a college coach by just being such a whiny little smarmy bitch about stuff in the offseason. Just let it go. Your Jackson State alumni are outbidding Alabama alumni. Okay, Nick. I got it. You just, sorry. Gosh, however shall you survive? I feel so awful for you, Nick Saban.
Yeah. It's a variation of the same thing that's been discussed about college football for decades now, which is inducements to get players to go to school. It's just that some schools are able to, there is a more above board element to it now that NIL is legal within the NCAA, or at least it's legal for existing players. So, Nick Saban went after you Aggies there. That should add some spice to the Alabama Texas A&M game this year. So boo loudly, A&M fans. Boo loudly, Aggies. Text message 713-206. There are five guys left on the Astros from the 2017 team. One of them is Justin Verlander. I don't see the Astros going out of their way to keep any of these guys with an ultra-high contract. They would prefer to have a Peña for every upcoming position in the infield. I disagree partially with this texter. You and I talked about this last week, Seth. We did a segment where we said, are there Jim Crane guys? Same way there were Robert Kraft guys with the Patriots, where salary and contract were way less of an issue if you were a Robert Kraft guy. When Bill Belichick wanted to get rid of Ted Johnson because he was too expensive, Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, stepped in and said, you're not getting rid of Ted Johnson. He is one of my guys. I don't know if he said that exactly, but the implication was as such. My feeling was there are two Jim Crane guys on this team. There are two players on this team that Jim Crane will step in and go the extra mile to make sure they remain in Astros uniforms. One of them is Justin Verlander, which I think was borne out when they gave Verlander. Hell, Crane even said it last week when he did that interview with Bob Nightingale, that he stepped in and kind of did the Justin Verlander deal. I think Altuve is the other one. Now this is no guarantee that Altuve is going to finish his career in an Astros uniform, but I do think a different set of rules apply to Jose Altuve than apply to pretty much any other everyday player on the team when it comes to the extent that the Astros will do things that would run contrary to their analytics to keep him in an Astros uniform. I really do feel that way about Altuve.
You think Jim Crane would set up an NIL deal for Jose Altuve?
A collective?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where we can our Astros boosters can raise a bunch of money and maybe somehow skirt the luxury tax by paying Jose Altuve.
As long as he does at least one social media post per week and does one autograph signing out in the Walk of Fame outside Minute Maid Park. There's got to be appearances involved.
Jose Altuve might get that. I feel like Jose Altuve, this is another where in this show, today's episode has become the Extol the Virtues of Jose Altuve episode, a very special episode of Pain and Pendergast.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he hasn't taken as much endorsement money as he could locally. I feel like he does HEB, and what else does he do? I feel like he could be on 10 different commercials at any given time.
He's got a car dealership, I think. I think I've heard his voice on automobile dealership ads before. I think I'd be shocked if he didn't have a car deal of some sort. Yeah.
You know, he needs to go in on it with his Lopez, the barbecue sauce.
Oh, yeah. Some sort of Jose Altuve flavor.
Altuve could have, he could be like Nolan Ryan with an entire line of food products. Earl Campbell, same thing. It's a long tradition here in Texas of former great athletes going into the food business.
Bregman's trying.
Yeah. Bregman with his salsa and his beer.
Yep. Absolutely. Payne and Pendergast with you, 713-572-4610. People don't like Nick Saban on the text page. Big shock there.
Somebody wanted you to say something soon because...
Why?
Because
you were in a rant?
Yeah, this is... let's see. Sean, say something, please. That's what I saw when I stopped my rant. Somebody says, Seth, you're wrong. Just because a school is small and weak doesn't give them a right to not follow the rules. Here's where you're wrong. That wasn't the point of what I was saying now, was it?
No.
It wasn't at all. First of all, there's no proof that they didn't follow the rules. So thanks for not listening. Second, my point was that Nick Saban shouldn't be scared of Jackson State no matter what rules they are or not following.
Yes.
Are or are not following.
Yes.
Like, they are the mighty behemoth. It's not like Jackson State is going to upend Nick Saban because they find a little tweak in the NIL rules.
Yeah.
So you, like Nick Saban, can't just all of a sudden brazenly claim that Jackson State violated the rules without actually having any proof of what they even did. And whether that was even a violation of the rules or not. Like, Nick Saban basically took a random rumor about Jackson State and acted like it was a bona fide fact and that it was definitely illegal, even though that was never proven. So, yeah, I think Coach Prime should sue Nick Saban for libel.
Has Nick Saban complained yet, like a lot of people are, about the Alabama-Texas game being an 11 a.m. kickoff the second weekend of the year? Did you see this? That Fox and ESPN have this draft that goes on every year when it comes to certain conferences. They both have rights to Big 12 games. So Fox and ESPN, before the season starts, they've got an agreement to, they get to draft games basically. And Fox had first pick. So they picked Alabama at Texas. They play week 2 of the upcoming season on September the 10th. And Fox's big broadcast, that's sort of their thing, is that their big game each week is the noon kickoff. It's the early one.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the Alabama-Texas game is going to kick off at 11 a.m. local time in Austin on September the 10th, and it is going to be boiling hot for that game.
Yeah, but that's not that all that uncommon these days. So I'm okay with that.
Are you?
Nothing shocks me about start times in college football anymore. So, yeah, should they be upset about it? No. Should they wish that it could have been a night game or something? Sure. But, if anything, the real heat of, Sean, the average college football game takes approximately 6.5 hours. So
true.
If they start at 11, they're not going to get into the really hot weather until in the second half.
Yeah.
At which point the game will probably already be decided.
The game will end by the time the sun goes down. So, yeah, no, you're right about that. But I guess a lot of the Texas people are angry because that's their big game on the season ticket package for the year.
Yeah.
And they've got to sit in 110 degree heat at that game.
Yeah, get over it. No, it's it's college football. There's
I feel like they should make you go to that game now. You should have to go sit in the 110 degree heat with the Longhorns.
Why? No, I'm not. I don't go to games in the heat. Like, for the most part, I stay the hell home and watch it on television. So if they want to go to a college game in Texas at any time, daytime, nighttime, what have you, and you're going to complain about the heat, then I feel like you're not an actual college football
fan. I got to Google.
But it's not like it all of a sudden got. Look, whatever effect global warming has had, we're talking about, you know, we're not talking about like, wow, this year it's 100 degrees, where in the past, in September in Texas, it was 72 degrees in bomb. It's been hot in Texas for a long time. So as far as it affects college football fans, no, I don't believe that they have any right to grouse about the temperature at game time.
NFL first rounders outside the top 10 under the most pressure. Do I feel like one of the Texans' first round pick fits that category? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.